my own life and then the life of my family over the years here. As Pastor Ron shared, I came to Tallahassee in 1999 as a transfer student to FSU, and I was just at a dark place. I'd been born and raised in a Christian family and had responded to Christ at a young age, but subsequently through middle school and high school and into early college, I was very far from God, very confused and uncertain if God existed, and if he did, if I wanted to follow him. And I thank God for both the ministry of this church as well as the on-campus ministry, because one day I was walking through the student union and I got an invite out to a campus ministry Bible study, and it was life-changing going to that and just hearing this unashamed, bold message of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and just an unassuming group of probably 20 or 30 college students there gathered and just began to mess with me. I was like, man, why here on the middle of FSU's campus, which at that time, FSU had the reputation as being the number one party school in the nation. I think they may have dropped to 4 or 5. I mean, they're still probably up there. I'm thinking, man, why here on a Wednesday night on the number one party school campus in the nation, why are these students gathered here to Bible study? You know, what is this? And it, just to see the sincerity and the authenticity of their faith and their pursuit of Jesus, God began to use that in combination with the preaching of the word to really do some work in my soul. And before long, I was repenting. I was turning away from so many areas of compromise and really getting grounded in my faith. And not too long after that, I was being encouraged to lead a small group Bible study and just constantly getting challenged to really go to the next level. And so it's been amazing. After graduating from college, in fact, God was doing so much in my life here in Tallahassee, a place that I didn't even know where it was on the map until I was like, where's FSU at? Oh, Tallahassee? Oh, what's that? You know, anybody can relate, college students? Okay. Maybe, I don't know, maybe my geography teacher failed me at some point. I don't know. Blame it on that. But anyway, coming to Tallahassee, not planning on being here all that long, and then graduating, and God having done just such an incredible work in my life here and just placed so many wonderful people around me, I said, man, I want to stay. I don't want to just disconnect from this family. I don't want to just move away. I want to stay here. So I got a job teaching. Shout out to all my teachers, the ministry of teaching. Man, it was a challenging season, but it was an incredible season as well as God continued to do a work in me. And then later on, I felt the stirring to go back to the college campus as a full-time campus minister, reaching students and being there for students in the way that others had been there for me. So really, so many major milestones in my own personal journey of really recommitting my life to Christ, of finding what we call spiritual family, a community of believers to really do life with, happened here in Tallahassee, here as a part of this church. I mean, I've seen this church move from Godby High School auditorium back then to then it was like a third of the size of this room. We first moved in here and then just expanding over the years, just seeing what God has done. It's been amazing. As you saw in so many of the photos there, I served for 5 years leading our ministry at Florida A&M University. And so that was a major step of faith there. Come on, I don't look like I belong at an HBCU. You hear what I'm saying? But yet, just saying, God, I'm here, use me. And God doing an incredible work there, just you know, among the students at FAMU, and then expanding over the years to come back to my alma mater, FSU, and then just 2 years ago, expanding as well our ministry to Tallahassee Community College. I've also met my wife here in this very room. So yeah, I can give her a hand clap. She's, I met my wife here. You know, I stood on this very stage up here as we were married on, I'm not even going to try to get the date on the spot here. As we were married almost 7 years ago, 7 years ago in May, I stood on this very stage and I looked at this beautiful bride come out those doors back there and walk with her dad, who was a naval military officer in his full Navy dress uniform, walked across that back aisle there and then come up here. And, man, then I got to say I do and put a ring on it and praise God. Here we are 2 kids later. I've had 2 children that have been dedicated to the Lord right here, in front of this church. And so just been incredible what God has done as I've been a part of this church now 15 years and you're serving in full-time campus ministry with this as our church home with Every Nation Ministries. for now over 11 years. And so anyway, it's been a whirlwind, but it's been incredible to see what God has done. And so thank you all for those of you that have been around for a long time and those of you that are just, you know, just coming around. Anyway, I hope that God meets you in this place in the way that he met me in this place. Yes. Well, with that, and one more thing, and I just want to honor Pastor Ron. I remember hearing Pastor Ron speak on campus. He was leading our athletic ministry at the time, and then when he took over the church, I think it was maybe 2000 or 2001, and you know, so just, I'm so thankful for Pastor Ron and just getting to know Pastor Charles more recently, just Pastor Charles' heart for people, his energy. I'm like, man, I want to have your kind of energy, you know, when I'm your age. I don't even know if I have his energy now. I'm like, I'm in my mid-30s. Lord help me. But I don't know, maybe that's because I have two young kids that wake up multiple times a night. Come on. The struggle is real, parents. Come on. Anyway, I want to talk this morning just a little bit about change. You know, as God is calling us to a change, and I don't want to show too many photos here, but if you would just kind of flip through those, and I didn't know we were going to have the whole slideshow video when I put this together, but there's my family, my son Caden and Maddie, and there you go. Go to the next one. This was when I was a student at FSU almost 15 years ago. A few other familiar faces. You might see Theo Matthews in that picture. He's still around, and so you know, just the small group ministry team there at FSU, and then it's amazing, church planters, and people got married, and just what God's done with that group has been incredible. You can go to the next one. There's our wedding day right up here on this stage. Yeah, if I look delirious, it's because I'm just like so happy. She actually said yes to me. Whoa, this is a miracle. All right, you can go to the next one. Some of the ministry on the FSU campus, baptizing a student there in the Westcott Fountain. So it's more than about just birthdays. Come on, baptizing people in the fountain is great. All right, next slide, please. This is our FSU student team there doing an outreach in last August on the campus. You can go to the next one, please. This is at FAMU last August, student outreach there. And again at FAMU, you can keep going. And then this is our student leadership team currently. So all these students involved in ministry on campus, leading small groups and sharing their faith. So it's just been incredible to see what God has done just over the years. You can go to the next one, please. And so this is just a few photos from Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a city of 6.5 million people. It's the fifth largest city in America. And there are close to 400,000 college students in Philadelphia. We're going to be starting out at Temple University and Drexel University there, and just really wanting to see God do what he has done here over the years on other campuses. And as we've got a great team of student leaders in place, we're able to pass the baton. Of course, that's emotional and bittersweet, but we really believe that there are some incredible people that God is raising up here, and we want to see the kingdom expand. We want to see the kingdom advance. We want to see more students reached. We want to see more campuses reached. And so that's where we're in the midst of this change that Pastor Ron shared with you a moment ago. You can go ahead back to the other slide there. But talking about change. So we're in the middle of a change. We've been preparing to sell our house and moving away. And it's exciting on the one hand, but it's also hard. My in-laws live here. My wife's two sisters, Colleen and Kim, live here. I mean, I like the weather here, certainly in the wintertime, much better than there. If you've been watching the news, it's like everybody's snowed in. I mean, like, man, that's crazy. You know, and so change, at times it can be exciting, but usually it's hard. Whether it's exciting or not exciting, change is usually very difficult. And so I know many of you probably here are facing some kind of change in your life. Maybe you're in the middle of a job transition. Maybe you just moved here to go to school. Maybe you're later in life and your kids have just moved out of the house, and all of a sudden you're like, man, I've been investing my life into these children for 20 years. Now they're gone. They're moved out. They're working. They're off to college. Man, what do I do now? I'm an empty nester. Amen. Whatever kind of change you're facing, I believe that God wants to meet us in that place of change. I understand. Change is hard. Yeah. I believe that God's word, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, that it's not only God-inspired or God-breathed, as the NIV says, but it's also useful. God's word is useful. And so this morning, we're going to go to God's word because I believe God would have something to say to us, especially in the midst of a time of change. So please turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, verses 13 through 37. And as you're turning there, and it'll be up on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you this morning, I'm going to give you a little bit of an explanation about the context of what we're about to read. Of course, we know Jesus. He lived the life we should have lived. He died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving he is the Son of God and offering forgiveness of sins to all who would turn from sin and would follow him. But it doesn't stop there. He ascended back into heaven and he left this mission of going and making disciples to his followers. And the book of Acts records the exciting history that happened in the years following Jesus' ascension back to be with his Father in heaven. And so one of the most exciting books, in my opinion, to read in the Bible, Paul, of course, a very prominent character throughout the book of Acts. Paul's been going all over the known world of the Mediterranean at that time, planting churches and seeing miracles happen, seeing people come to Jesus out of idolatry. And so at this point here, he is preparing to go back to Jerusalem. And he has stopped by a city where he had spent a good bit of time, where he'd spent about 3 years in the city of Ephesus. Most scholars think that he probably stayed there at Ephesus longer than any other of the places where he ministered in the midst of his church planting. And so he stopped there, but he didn't even go back to the city of Ephesus. He knew that might be a little bit too hard. So he stopped at another place just a little distance from Ephesus, and the leaders of the church there came out to meet him. And so let's pick up here in Acts chapter 20, verse 13. It says, "When we went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard, he had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. Then the next day, we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day, arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, 'You know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared both to Jews and to Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what may happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again.'" How's that for intense and a goodbye? "You'll never see me again." Oh, great. "Therefore, I tell you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim that I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit to you God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are being sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's gold or silver or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Let's stop there. Now, I'm very happy to say to you today that I probably will see many of you again. So even as we're getting ready to leave, and as we read this very emotional scene here, I thank God that, you know, I'm not facing the same thing as I moved to Philadelphia. The Holy Spirit hasn't told me anything about beatings or about being in prison there, you know, so I'm not anticipating that. And I'm sure I'm going to see many of you again. Certainly, I'll probably see a lot of you on Facebook next week. And so we're living in a very different time and a very different situation from this year. And yet, I believe that there are some things that we can pull out of this that I've been able to pull out and even meditate on as we're in the midst of transition in our own lives, but that I think may also be of help to you in whatever transitions, whatever changes you're facing in the midst of your lives as well. And so we're going to look at three sections of what we just read and pull out some principles and some truths from this. So let's look back at verses 20 through 21 and verse 27. It says there, you know, and this is Paul speaking, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I've taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to you both Jews, to both Jews and Greeks, that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And then in verse 27, he says, "For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God." And so I think the first principle, the first truth that we can pull out that can help us in the midst of times of great change, in the midst of times of transition, is this: speak hard truths, but with humility. Speak hard truths, but with humility. Paul said that he did not hesitate to speak to them whatever they needed, whatever would be helpful to them, that he even called them to repentance and said that they must turn to God. Now, put this in the context of the city of Ephesus. This is a city that was known for idolatry. This is a city where this wasn't just like a kind of culturally accepting area where it was like, oh yeah, just tell people about this God that they perceive to just be the God of the Jewish people, and somehow it's just going to be kind of this smooth, easy thing. No, he was proclaiming this message in the midst of a city that was just rife with all kinds of idolatry. And so he was delivering at times very challenging messages to them. He spoke hard truths. So in your own lives, in your own situations that you're facing, I encourage you, speak hard truths. Even on a broader sort of cultural scale, there are some truths that are culturally unacceptable in our day and age that people don't want to hear. That if you begin to speak out about these things, it's going to begin to cause a little bit of friction. But we need to not just pull back from all conflict. We need to engage in conflict. We need to have the hard conversation. Come on, those of you in the room that are married, come on. What marriage is free of conflict? I mean, I showed you the photo of my wife and I. They're both smiling. There have been plenty of moments where we haven't been smiling since that time. There have been some tough conversations. There have been some moments along the way where it's been like, honey, this bugs me. You know, and probably even more the other direction. Like, honey, you know, hey, you need to change in this area. And that's all that repentance is. It's a kind of a, you know, 20-cent word for saying, hey, you need to change. You need to change. That's what repentance is. And that's what God calls us to. He says, hey, stop living that way. Change. Speak hard truths, but with humility. But the other side of it is that we've got to speak those hard truths with humility. In our cultures, as we begin to speak to some of those touchy subjects, those things, those sin patterns that are becoming more and more accepted in our day and age, we've got to speak to those things. But we've got to do it in a way that is going to be, you know, palatable, a way that's going to be received, or a way that it's least, you know, humble. I mean, there's certainly no guarantee, even if you come with humility, that it's going to be received. But, I mean, again, coming back just to the personal level, if I come to my wife just like, well, I know I'm right about this, and you just need to get with the program, and even if she's wrong, if I come with that kind of attitude, it's going to go wrong for me. I mean, it's not going to work out. So we've got to speak hard truths, but we've got to do that with humility. and wisdom. Amen. Whoever said that. All right, let's look at verse 22. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. I think what we can see here is that Paul was more concerned with obeying God than with his personal comfort. And so the second principle, if you're taking notes this morning, is to prioritize obeying God over personal comfort. Prioritize obeying God over personal comfort. In our own situation, as God is calling us to make a change, you know what? There are some aspects of that that are very uncomfortable. As I went up there a couple of weeks ago to look for a place to live, we're going to be renting a house there. I came out from a meeting on the campus. We're having a meeting with some students at Temple University there. And I came out and there was ice all over my windshield. I'm from Florida. I didn't have an ice scraper. So I had to get real creative in that moment. I pulled my driver's license out and I was just trying to chip away at it. And, you know, I mean, the weather, I can't say that I'm looking forward to the single digits and, you know, sub-zero temperatures. You know, it's been very convenient, very nice having my wife's family here so that, you know, if we want to have a date night occasionally, hey, you know, grandma and grandpa, how would you like to watch the kids for an evening? You know, we're to move into a place where we know no one. I mean, well, we know some people, we don't have family there. That's uncomfortable. It's a higher cost of living. So as missionaries, even if you've wondered where we've been some of the past weeks, we've been traveling around visiting some of our other partner churches. We have a whole group of individuals and other churches that partner with us to help see the gospel advanced on the campuses in addition to our home church here. And so reality is that's uncomfortable. But we're just saying, you know what, God, we're going to obey you. We want to see greater. We want to see more campuses reached. We want to see more students reached. So I ask you, what are the things that God is calling you to that perhaps you've been resisting because it's uncomfortable? Maybe God is calling you to be more generous, but you know that if you step out and you give or you make some other commitments that are going to involve a greater level of generosity, maybe you know that, man, there's no extra kind of margin. That means I'm going to have to cut back on my cable TV package, or man, I'm gonna not be able to eat out as much, or you know, that's gonna mean some kind of sacrifice for me. Maybe God's calling you to begin to engage beyond just a Sunday morning context here at this church. But you know, well, that's gonna mean that an extra night of the week, I'm gonna have to go out and I'm gonna have to spend time building relationally with people. And that's just something that maybe you haven't wanted to do up to this point. That's a sacrifice. Maybe you're just tired at the end of the day and you're like, man, I just wanna kick back and, you know, eat dinner and watch TV till I go to sleep. Hey, I understand. But I don't want us to shrink back from obeying God because of the cost to our own personal comfort. I believe Paul modeled that so well. And again, just putting it in context, he was saying, hey, I'm willing to go be beaten up. I'm willing to even be killed if it means obeying God. So many times for us, it's on such a lower level when we talk about sacrificing our personal comfort. It's not about physical harm. It's about just making some kind of other smaller sacrifices. But let's prioritize obeying God over personal comfort. Let's look third and finally at verses 28 through 32. It says here, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning you, each of you, day and night with tears. Verse 32, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. And so if we look at verse 28, Paul says, keep watch over yourselves. And then in verse 32, he says, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. I love what we see here, sort of a parallel between personal responsibility and resting in the grace of God. Paul says, hey, watch over yourself. Take care of yourself. and then take care of others. And so he called them up in a way that he's saying, you know, yeah, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going, not knowing exactly what kind of hardship is going to face me there, but I'm going, and I challenge you to take care of yourselves. I believe part of what God wants to bring us to in the midst of difficult changes in our lives is he wants to bring us to a greater place of maturity. He wants to bring us to a greater place of personal responsibility. But you know, and excessive emphasis on personal responsibility can be very overwhelming. That's why I'm so thankful for what he says later in verse 32. He says, I commit you to the grace of God. And so third and finally, take personal responsibility and rest in the grace of God. We need to be mindful of how we're living. We need to take personal responsibility in whatever changes we're going through, whatever transitions we find ourselves in, especially if those are difficult things. But we can also rest in the grace of God. Praise God for his grace. So many times in our culture, there's an emphasis on one at the expense of the other. Even if we look at sort of the, and this may be oversimplifying a little bit, but sort of the political landscape, there's a party that really heavily emphasizes personal responsibility. And there's a party that really emphasizes, hey, we just need to, you know, give handouts and kind of help people out and just kind of grace and, you know, that kind of thing. I believe that biblically we need both. We need to take personal responsibility, but you know what? There's grace there. There's mercy there, you know, and so, I encourage us, take personal responsibility and rest in the grace of God. So if you start to get overwhelmed or stressed out, like, I can't do this. I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm trying to be diligent. I'm working hard, but it's just not coming together. Praise God for his grace. But let's never just go to the other extreme of just kind of living recklessly. Whatever, you know. Oh, well, God is a God of grace, so he's going to just be there for me no matter what terrible choices I make. Let's never live to that extreme. We need to embrace both. Take personal responsibility and rest in the grace of God. I want to look just at one other scripture. Matthew 28, 18 through 21. I'm going to close with this. Sure, a very familiar passage to most of you here. Everybody doing okay this morning? Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 21. Says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Come on, church, we are called to go. We are called to go make disciples. All of us are going to play different roles in that at different times, but we are called to go, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. But get this, Jesus says this, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so finally, we can do this. We can take comfort knowing that Jesus is with us in the midst of change. Jesus said he would be with us. And Pastor Ron actually referenced that verse earlier this morning. Jesus said that it's better that he go. I don't know about you, but that messes with my mind, because I think it would be pretty incredible to walk and talk with Jesus in the flesh, like just like the disciples, kind of hanging out with him, eating with them. Hey, Jesus, what about this? Seeing him do miracles. But Jesus said it's better that he go, that he leave the earth, so that what? So that the Holy Spirit, so that the Comforter may come. And that's what he's talking about there. He's saying, hey, I will be with you in the form of his Holy Spirit. He will be with us to the end of the age. And so as we face changes, as we face difficult times, whether you're in the midst of a job change, whether you're brand new here and you're just trying to find a church home and you're just here this morning saying, hey, this is hard. I had to find parking here and I'm new and I feel like a fish out of water here. You know, maybe you're in the midst of you know, some other type of change where you just found yourself single again and you've been in a relationship for a long time and you're like, man, I was not anticipating this. Whatever kind of change you are facing or you are walking through this morning, the good news is that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, he says this, he says, I will be with you to the end of the age. And so in the midst of all the principles that we may pull out and say, oh, you know, this is a wise course of action, that we need to think about this, we need to do this, at the end of the day, we can take great comfort in knowing that Jesus says he will be with us until the end of the age. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing. Lord, even in the midst of change, Lord, as change can be so difficult, but Lord, we just commit our hearts to you. We cast our cares upon you, knowing that you care for us. Lord, in the midst of whatever changes everyone in this room is facing or walking through this morning, whatever disappointments, whatever hard situations, God, Father, even as my family and I prepare to step out into this major change of a move to the other side of the country to see more people come to you, God, we just lay our hearts before you, God, and say, help. Lord, help us. Lord, meet us in this place, God. Meet every man and woman and child in this room, Lord, that is just saying, Lord, help me. If you're here this morning and you're just walking through something that's difficult, some kind of a change in your life, and you would say, hey, pray for me this morning. I just want to invite you just to raise your hand. I want to just pray that God would meet you in your situation, wherever you are. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. God, your spirit is called the comforter. I pray that you would comfort those that are in need of comforting this morning. I pray that you would give strength to those that are just feeling so weak, like they just can't handle anymore. Oh God, have your will in their life and bring them through the change to the other side of what you have for them. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you are the unchanging God, that you are faithful, that you are true, that in the midst of whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, that we can trust in you. God, have your way. Have your way in us. Have your way in this church. Have your way, Lord, in this earth. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome, man. Love you.